This episode of Creepy Kingdom is being brought to you by artist Shaunine Joy. She creates incredible haunted mansion and Disney-inspired art over pages from classic literature. Her work is a must-have for every creepy Disney fan who's also a book lover. You can get 10% off of your entire purchase by using the coupon code CREEPY. Just go to ShauneneJoy.com. That's ShauneneJoy.com.
Monster Movie Media presents...
Welcome to Creepy Days, where we take a look back at some of the top Halloween events of 2016, including a look at the Halloween events at every Disney park in the world. Coming up in this episode, we talk with Brittany and Grant, who just got back from visiting all the Asian Disney parks. They have so much information to share with us, but in this episode, we're going to zero in and focus on their time Tokyo Disneyland. Okay, I'm here with Brittany and Grant. Hey, guys.
Oh, hi, James. I didn't know it was you.
You're my favorite customers.
Bye. Hi, doggy.
Anyway, we're already going off the rails. We're 10 seconds in. Anyway, so... I invited this newlywed couple on the show. Congratulations on your marriage.
Oh, thank you very much.
And I invited you guys on the show because you guys had did the honeymoon of a lifetime. You visited all three of the Asia parks, Disney parks, within 3 weeks, and many other Asia theme park weird, creepy activities, and... And you visit all the parks during Halloween time, so this is really exciting. I don't know. I mean, there might be other podcasts out there that are doing this, but as far as I know, we're the only podcast that is going to talk about Halloween at every single Disney park in the world, and you guys are helping making that happen.
Oh, you got Paris, huh? You got somebody to cover that one?
Yeah, we got Paris, and I was at Disneyland in Walt Disney World, so we got them all.
All right, here we go. Let's do this.
But just today, we're actually going to be a three-part interview with you guys. So just today in this episode, we're going to be talking about your time at Tokyo Disneyland.
Yeah, just view this as like the Lord of the Rings right here, or the Hobbit, which...
Right.
Actually, on the plane flight back, they had no entertainment, really, so I watched all three Hobbit movies in a row. So, well, anyway.
Wow. That's like 10 hours, right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. But you guys roughed it out. All right, so before we get going, I mean, how did this trip even come to be?
Okay, so basically what had happened was, we were looking for a good honeymoon to do. We're huge Disney fans as we live in Florida, and we go to Disney World way more than is actually healthy for us. I think we're up to like 57 days, and I've only had my annual pass for about 2.5 years or so. So, and we live 3 hours from there.
Oh, 3 hours. Not, oh, wow, yeah.
It's not like a thing where it's in our backyard. So we do the drive at 4 a.m. and come back at 2 a.m., more
same
often than
day.
I'd like
to. Wow, you guys are nuts.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So what happened was when we were looking for a honeymoon, we initially were thinking of Paris Disney. And there had been events that happened in December, and it kind of freaked out the idea of travel over there.
Mm-hmm. That's when you were planning, right around the time of
that's
the
– That's what we were
time.
Planning yeah. was we were initially planning Paris. And what had happened was, we freaked out over that kind of stuff, thinking, well, it's probably going to be safe. But looking into it, they are doing a major refurb of a lot of the rides right now, saying that their big announcement was 2 years from now, they're going to be really good and Disney quality. But apparently when they built the rides years and years ago, they just never really bothered to maintain them. So we kind of figured that that would be better for a different time. And we noticed that Shanghai Disney was opening, and I was kind of joking around a little bit saying, wouldn't it be cool to go to Tokyo and then Hong Kong and then Shanghai for opening year?
Right.
And I thought that this was just like a really unrealistic thing to do, being that we live in Florida and that that was going to be way expensive. And it, the thing is once we started looking at the numbers, it really is incredibly reasonable. Now, I will mention that we got married in Las Vegas, so we were already on the other side of the country, and we had a layover in Los Angeles. And so we were already starting in Los Angeles to get there. Now, if you were to do a round trip from Los Angeles to Tokyo and you can get a deal, I've seen them as low as $374.
Wow.
Okay. Now, obviously, we weren't doing that kind of a flight, but that is out there. So, you know, if you live in the Los Angeles area, that's pretty much the price it costs for you to go to Florida to see Disney World just for the plane ticket.
Right, true.
And from Tokyo to Hong Kong, that's about a $70 flight. And then from Hong Kong to Shanghai, that was about a $90 flight.
Wow.
Per person. So, because, I mean, they're not long flights. The one to Hong Kong was kind of long, but it was a cheap flight. So if you look at that, and then you look at the fact that hotels are about $40 a night.
What?
And we were in mid-range hotels. If you don't mind sleeping in a pod, you can do it for $6 a night. But my new wife would not allow that.
Yeah, I put my foot in that pod, but I will say the hotels in Japan may as well have been a pod. It was
super tiny.
When
you can touch three walls at the same time, and if I had better balance, I could have touched all four with a leg. But
they do have bidets in the hotels in Japan, and those were awesome. So, you see, this conversation's already going down the toilet.
But if you can live in a cruise ship room for 3 weeks, you'll be good.
You see, but, you know,
it's about that size, cruise ship. But...
And if you're going to go to a place like that, you're not necessarily, even if you're on your honeymoon, spending a ton of time in the hotel room because you're over there. So, right. You know, you're looking for a place to drop yourself off and sleep.
Right.
So for $40 a night, and that was on average at each place. So you're already looking cheaper than Orlando. Now, the cost of a four-day park hopper for Tokyo Disney and Disney Sea for the two of us combined was about $520.
Wow.
So I want you to look at what that is compared to what Disney World and Disneyland charge. Hong Kong Disney was about $50 a day, and so was Shanghai. Was about $50, maybe $60 a day per person. So it's about half to maybe I'd say a third less than what it costs. So
wow.
It's really it seems not an unbeatable thing. Yes, food was cheap. You don't need a rental car. You take the subway everywhere. And the subway, for us to get from our hotel to Tokyo Disney, was I think it was $11 combined round trip for the two of us. And it was a 45-minute ride. Now, the hotels at Tokyo Disney, if you're going to stay there, are like $500 a night. So that's why I say stay away.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, wow. But, you know, like when you're staying in the city, the options are endless. And, you know, it was easy to walk to the, it was easy to walk there. So to the subway station.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just saying it seems really exotic, but if you look at it, it was no more expensive than us visiting Florida. If you can get the plane visiting California.
Right.
If you look at what the plane deals are, you know, like if you wanted to do it, you can do it cheaper than if you were to do the Disney World trip.
That's nuts.
So, you know, I'm just letting you know, like, everybody's going, oh, this is so exotic, and how did you afford this? And, oh, you guys must be loaded. No, we're not loaded at all. You know, so I just wanted to get that out there that, you know, doing the numbers, it was not unreasonable to do this kind of a thing.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, that's mind-blowing, actually, because it seems like such a far-off fantasy. Like, oh, maybe one day. But, you know, but you saying this, it's just like, wow, like, it's actually achievable.
I think it's the ocean that intimidates people. You think it's going to be so much more because you're flying over an ocean
sure.
compared to, you know, flying across the country.
I'm a waiter and she's a social worker and we were able to do this. Okay, so yeah. Here you go. Take that for what it's worth.
All right.
So anyway, I guess we'll just kind of get into it if you want us to.
Yeah,
about
let's do it.
Okay. So we decided to break up Disney between 4 days because there are two parks at Tokyo Disney. And we said, let's do Tokyo Disneyland day one and day three, and DisneySea day two and day four. So we took the train ride over there, and one of the first things that really struck us was security, which – when you go through security there, they took Brittany's bag, and they said it was cute. They didn't look inside of it. They waved us and went through. The metal detector was just like, oh, you're fine. And a slight political point that I have to bring up is last year they had 6 deaths by gunfire in all of Japan, from what I gathered. So they just don't have the kind of that kind of mentality where you have to be like over here, they're adding new metal detectors for Disney Springs and Downtown Disney in California. You know, it's just, it's a different kind of attitude there.
Sure.
So that was something that kind of like already kind of was like, well, this is a lot more magical already. So I don't know. You may edit that part out.
No, that's all, no, it's part of your trip. It's fun.
Okay. So when you go into Disneyland over there, you don't really have Main Street per se. You have this kind of covered shop area where they have different stores. And they still have the walk-ins, like, or not the walk-ins, but the peek-ins, where you kind of like look in the window and they have the different scenes going on.
Sure.
But it's more like you're walking through a mall to get into Disneyland, if that makes sense.
Okay, sure. Well, that's what Main Street basically is at this point, right?
Yeah.
Except it's covered. They have the waffle store, and it was so awesomely themed. Like, it was all Halloween decorations in there all the time with, you know, giant Chip and Dale pumpkins and ooh. Mickey Mouse pumpkins. And, I mean, we're looking at photos right now, and, I mean, they're looking fabulous. The theme of this year's Halloween at Disneyland was music. Like, they were all acting like they were Japanese pop stars and rock stars.
Oh, weird. Okay.
So, you know, so getting through that, you know, getting through that area, I'm just going to go land by land and just
that's good.
We'll start with.
It helps me look at it. Helps me because I'm looking at pictures as you talk, too. So it helps me.
Cool. So I'm going to start with Adventureland. And the first thing on their website, which we did, was the Western River Railroad, which is just. They're a circle train type thing, but it only really goes through Adventureland and, like, their version of Frontierland.
Okay.
And we were thinking, okay, well, we'll just do the train to just knock it off. And we were wrong. They have a better version of the Primeval World that we were not expecting. I did not know it was coming. We went into a tunnel. I said, no, we're not getting this. And sure enough, it was a bigger version of it with the animatronics that were more articulated.
Really? Weird.
Yeah, it was just really obvious. It was a short railroad, but it was almost like the railroad was built because it's a one-stop railroad. Mm-hmm. So you get this one-stop railroad, but it's basically there to say, hey, we've got Primeval World.
Oh, wow.
So,
that's so weird that they would recreate that.
And exactly. And there was actually a little bit more blood going on because they don't have the same hang-ups. the next thing that we have on there, because I'm not going to try going day by day, because I'm not going to say, well, day one we did this, and day one, you know, it's...
Right, right, yeah, it'll be our forever.
Focus on this. Pirates of the Caribbean, which it was significantly creepier than ours. Mm. It's more like the Disneyland version, because there are multiple drops. But there's much more time spent in the caves with the skeletons. And the other really weird thing about it was that the pirates were still chasing the women, which was kind of awesome.
Oh, that's, yeah, the women chase the pirates. And now is Johnny Depp in there?
Yes, Johnny Depp was in there. There wasn't a whole lot more different. It was just like, picture the part where you're kind of going through the cave and you're seeing the skeletons, and add about another minute to that. And that's kind of where the big difference is there.
Weird. Now, I guess this is the first time it's going to come up. What, is this a Japanese everything?
Yes. Oh, yeah. And it was great. It was like, at first we were worried because we don't speak any Japanese, except for like hello and goodbye. Mm-hmm. But and I was worried, like, how are we going to get around this place where, you know, English is there, but it's not like what it is over here. It's very broken. And we were able to figure out, if you watch any Disney show, you can figure out the plot. Like, imagine just watching a Disney show where you are with headphones on where you can't hear it. You're still going to be able to figure out the plot because of how it's designed.
Right.
And it was kind of cool hearing Jack Sparrow yell in Japanese. So, I wouldn't say that there was much more to that. The thing is everybody is super friendly. Everybody could explain it. And we gathered that they were able to read English. And even if they didn't speak it, they could kind of like, you can like write something down and they would know what you were talking about. Also, as another side note, for food and ordering like entrees and things like that, mm-hmm. Everything was a picture menu. So All you had to do was they'd hand you a picture menu and you would just point at the thing that you wanted. You would point at your side dish and you would point at what drink you would want. And you got it, and it was really easy. There was no tax, so the price on there was the price on there. Even at the sit-down restaurants, they viewed – I was told that tipping was an insult there from what I gathered online.
Wow,
so,
weird.
Same with China. It's like that in a lot of other countries. So it was kind of – if something said it was 195 yen or whatever the currency we were in, it was kind of neat because you knew what to do. There wasn't any guesswork.
Right. That's awesome.
So, you know, I will say, you know, it is easier to get around. Also, the subway stations and all that stuff, all the signs are in English as well. So, you know, don't worry that you don't know any Japanese. You can figure it out because there is English everywhere. So, you know, as long as you know which direction you're going, you know, you can figure it out.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I'll let Brittany handle the talking on this one for the Jungle Cruise, which was significantly different.
Okay.
we did a couple different Jungle Cruises.
Well, we're just going to stick with Japan. Tokyo. Yeah, we're just sticking with Tokyo.
It's all blurry. the big thing that stood out for me in Jungle Cruise, there's a scene in all the Jungle Cruises where you have all the animals and the lions are having a little snack. Right. And they thought for that in Japan, they would put the Lion King music through that whole scene. Please envision the Lion King as you're going through the scene, watching the lion chomp on a zebra.
Wow.
They also changed, and I'm more familiar with the Florida one, so Grant might have to fill in if it's different in California. You go into a cave type thing in the ruins. I believe it's the Asian portion, and there's in Florida there's tigers and monkeys, and they're like investigating this like gold and treasure and things like that.
Yeah, they have like the snakes in there and stuff. Do you know what I'm talking about, James?
No, I don't. Is that in the Disneyland version? I don't
know. The Florida one.
It's in the Florida one.
Okay. Yeah.
Have you not been on the Jungle Cruise out here?
I mean, I might have once or twice, but I always skip it when I go.
All right, James, next time we're out here, we're going on the Jungle Cruise, okay?
All right.
So you go through a temple, and, you know, you see animatronics. And in this version...
Yeah, in this version, they have screens up behind the animatronics, and the screens are interactive, and they light up, and there's all sorts of... It's like the monkeys unearth some treasure, and the whole thing lights up, and they're sparkling and glitter and gold and glistening.
You're going through a projection map, like what they do to the castles now. So it's the tentacle actually comes to life on you. And it's not really creepy, but it was really neat and
unexpected.
Yeah.
Oh, another thing was that the monkeys that have their guns, they shoot at the boat.
Oh.
Okay, to the point where you see water, like giant splashes of water go flying, to the point where we almost felt like we were going to get soaked.
Wow.
So, we actually did that twice. We thought it was unique enough that we should, do it one more time, you know?
Wow, you liked it that much, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we had 2 days, so it was kind of like we had time on the second day where we said, okay, what are the must-re-rides? And so also, this is not creepy at all, but I will mention that their Enchanted Tiki Room, Stitch has overtaken it. So in the middle of it, there is a giant Stitch animatronic, and he's singing Hawaiian songs with everybody else.
So they're just randomly, instead of under new management.
Yeah, there you go.
Stitch. Think of the under new management, but they put Stitch in it, and it really works. And it's successful over there, whereas under new management was not so much. Pretty much in the middle where I'm pretty sure it's the same in both. The birds come down from the ceiling. They're all like white cockatoos and doves looking birds.
Yeah.
And everything on the edges of their things have little stitch marks and little stitch paws and stuff like that.
Wow.
And during the songs, lightning will strike and Stitch's like he was finger painting all over the walls will light up and things like that. So he interjects himself, but the whole thing is not about him, but it's pretty much he comes in and ruins the show.
Oh,
and then, takes it over and makes it his own show.
Stitch also works surprisingly well in Japanese. His voice is just perfect for that.
Sure. Yeah.
So, yeah, nothing really creepy going on there, but okay, next land is Western Land, and they have the Country Bear Jamboree. The difference there, though, is that that show is like what it used to be, where it changes every few months. So,
Vacation or summer vacation?
Yeah, we got the vacation one, exactly. Yeah, we got vacation.
We saw vacation.
And we heard them singing Elvis, but in Japanese, so that was kind of cool. It's also the longer versions of the show. So, I know over here in Florida, they cut, 7 minutes out or something like that so they can get more shows in.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go.
Something notable that a lot of people, ourselves included, we usually skip over the shooting arcade.
Right.
At Disney. We could see it because it was next to Big Thunder Mountain, and it had a huge line, and I'm thinking to myself, this is a nothing little attraction.
That's weird.
They theme it. It was a Halloween-themed shooting gallery.
Wow. All right,
so here's something you would normally just walk past that you wouldn't really pay much attention to. They had a theme for Halloween, and I believe they theme it for Christmas as well, from what I've
seen the Christmas photos. Yeah, they've rethemed it for Christmas already. So, yeah, it's I'm going to point out in general that they go the extra mile just – everywhere, to the point where it's unbelievable. You get angry that how come they're getting this? How come they're getting this version and we're getting, what are we getting? Well, nothing really changes here in Florida. But, they have the Mark Twain Riverboat, which isn't really any different, and they have Tom Sawyer Island Rafts. We didn't go to Tom Sawyer Island just because timing just didn't permit. Big Thunder Mountain, though, I would say it's a prettier version overall. Mm-hmm. It's the same ride for the most part. There wasn't really too much remarkable, but it was a more ornate version of it. So there's that. So right behind that is Critter Country. And, you have Splash Mountain, and that's pretty much it. That's going there. They're building something else there right now. It's opening in a couple of weeks, which is just some sort of meet and greet area for Donald Duck. But Splash Mountain, go in there. You're actually going through a giant cavern in the line. They built it you know, on how on ours, on both coasts, it's like you're walking through like an old mill.
Yeah.
It starts out like you're walking through a mill, and instead of being a mill, it turns into a giant cave. And the whole time you're walking into it, you're just like looking at how huge the ceiling is, and it's all looking like you're in a cave, and the scope of the building of the queue, it's hard to explain, but it's just massive. It's monstrous. There's like rivers going below your feet with their own waterfalls, and it's not part of the ride, but the theming on it was so neat. I mean, the ride itself was pretty much the same. I think it's more, we sat side by side, I think, right? Or was it in line? I think, yeah, it's side by side.
So it's Magic Kingdom.
This is the Florida version.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was the same storyline and all that, but, I mean, the rooms were just... I would say that the rooms were bigger. It was a bigger version of the ride. Also, the ride went in reverse, so it kind of caught us on backward, meaning if you're familiar with regular Splash Mountain on how you make a right to turn different ways, this one, it's the mirror image. So, like, you start off and you make a left instead of making a right around things. So the whole time you're doing the whole thing, but it's backwards. So
these are the things you notice when you've been on the ride so many times,
right?
And you're like, wait, you're backwards. Wait, that animatronic's missing. Things like that. The other thing I thought was cool, they have a Splash Mountain themed restaurant.
Oh yeah,
I was gonna ask about that. I think I heard about that.
Yeah, it's called Grandma Sarah's, and it was really well done. The food was good. It's all Japanese food, but
weird.
It's like you're eating inside of Splash Mountain.
That's cool.
So
the ride does not go through the restaurant, though, but it's set to match, you know, the scenes that you see in Splash Mountain.
It's seamless.
Yeah.
How do you get to the restaurant? Do you have to go back outside the attraction, or?
Yes,
it's off to the side. It's very popular, but it is a little bit of a – you have to kind of figure out where you are for that one. It's in an odd spot.
It's a walk from the – say you left the ride to go eat there. You do have to walk between the two. They're next to each other, but the entrances do not line up. So you got to kind of go around the ride to get to the restaurant. But it matches it perfectly. The only thing I think maybe in hindsight, they probably wished they made it so it overlooked the ride like Pirates.
Right.
In California has Blue Bayou. Even in Walt Disney World, Pinocchio Village House looks over the entrance to Small World. I'm thinking maybe that was the idea and it just didn't work, or one came after the other.
So, yeah. I guess we're going to move on to Fantasyland then.
All right.
And we didn't do the teacups at all.
Because they are teacups.
You know, teacups are teacups. It's covered, which was kind of cool. But, you know...
rains more in Tokyo than it does in California, so they cover their teacups. Like, if you've been to Walt Disney World, the teacups are under a cover.
So,
which I don't like that. I like them open, but I guess it's better than getting rained on.
It works in California. We were at Disneyland once, and it drizzled, and they had to close the teacups.
Oh, wow.
Because it was drizzling. So I understand Tokyo has a lot more rain. Disney World has a ton more rain. You know that all too well. That it makes sense to put the cover over it so that you can use that ride and it doesn't go down for inclement weather with everything else. The big thing in Fantasyland that we may as well start with.
Let's start with this.
No, I want to start with the big one.
Oh, that one.
Snow White. They have Snow White Scary Adventures and...
Oh, no, it's just called Snow White's Adventures. Oh, yeah. They removed the scary.
They took the word scary out. Okay. There's a Snow White Adventures. It's kind of one of the rides where it starts out dark, and it just gets worse. There is no lived happily ever after.
Nice.
There is no riding off into the sunset. You literally ride this ride around, and you watch things get very bad for Snow White. get very bad for the seven dwarves. There's a rock coming at you, and the exit.
Yeah, okay, obviously you're familiar with the California version of the ride. And you know how the rock comes down, and the lightning strikes and all that stuff? And then you see the They Lived Happily Ever After?
Right.
This one, you get the lightning strikes, and then you exit the ride.
Oh, you're dead.
You are dead. I think at that point you are simulating being the witch. It's kind of like Mr. Toad.
Right, nice.
On top of that, it's longer. You go through, like, they saw the skeleton, like, that, like, was clearly, like, there for a while and all that stuff. And you still have the witch turning into the hag and all that great stuff. Mm-hmm. But you get, you get this area where there's just like these bats with these giant eyes staring at you, and this forest with trees, animatronic trees, trying to kill you.
Nice.
So it was better. It was, and I love the fact that they dropped scary. It was almost like a, you know what? We're just going to do this.
Yeah. No warning.
I predict many, many small Japanese children have been traumatized by that ride. because you don't think going in, the queue in the entrance is like Disneyland's. Sitting at the well, oh, look how adorable this is going to be. It's not.
Wooden smiling squirrels and bunnies outside, and then you get in there, and it's like, you can never leave. You are on this thing, and it's longer. And I'm just imagining these poor children who have to deal with this. And you know what? It'll toughen them up a little bit.
So it seems like a bait and switch is what you're saying, is that they make it seem like it's harmless.
Oh, it's bait and switch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because you see part of the track, like part of the ride go is outside before you enter the show building. Like, it's not outside. You're in the – it's like where the one is in California and – you know, you kind of see you loading up into the ride. You see you going by the well, and you hear the I'm wishing, you know, her singing, you know, thinking, this is going to be totally fine. This is going to be a happy little ride. No. It starts out, you're going directly in there. Oh, and when you go into the diamond mine, the witch is in the diamond mine trying to kill you. So you see the cart coming flying at you. Like, she pushes the cart trying to, like, derail you.
Wow. That's awesome.
We got off the ride and we're like, did that really just happen? I think she tried to kill us about half a dozen times. There is no happily ever after. This is really weird.
This is the best thing ever.
Wow. Well, kudos to them for keeping it real out there, huh?
Yeah.
There was no... And I wonder, because a thing I did notice out there, a lot of little children were dressed as Snow White. So I imagine a lot of little children really want to go on that ride.
A lot of little children probably feel like they just got killed. By the time they go, well, that's it for Snow White.
You don't find out what happens to Snow White. She eats the apple.
That's
the last you see of her.
Oh,
so, if you haven't seen the movie... And you just rode the rides. The white ate an apple, died. the dwarves got bowled down by a rock.
Prince Charming doesn't exist.
There was no Prince Charming. Yeah, it was pretty much this is the end. Very apocalyptic. Everyone, it ends badly for in there.
Wow, so that sounds like, so far, the headliner creepy attraction.
Yeah.
You'd be there at riding it. Constantly, and it never really had a long wait. Maybe people have wised up, or maybe there was giant Japanese writing that said not suitable for children that we didn't understand.
Okay.
Yeah. So, next in Fantasyland, of course, is the creepy ride, you know, Small World. And I'm not going to go too much into that because it's Small World, but I will say it was really bizarre because when you go into it, like, okay, you see the facade of Small World outside, and then you're thinking, okay, cool, I'm going to load inside. Like, it's different than Disneyland where you load outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know how in Florida you kind of load inside?
Yeah.
This one you have to walk through the clock tower, like the whole facade. You have to walk through it in order to get onto the ride, whereas the other one, the boat, on both United States ones, the boat takes you through it. It's like you're entering there. But when you get in there, it's you enter a Costco-sized building, and it's not like there's a ton of line there. It's just like you're in this giant building, like, well, we're going to make this ride longer, but you know what? We'll just make this a long queue.
Very 80s-themed queue. Like, they haven't remodeled anything with the line or the paint job since the park opened. Which is fine. They're ready for Small World there to have a six-hour wait. They've got the line for it.
So
6 hours.
So you are, like, zigzagging through this building for a long time. And, I mean, I'm sure it was just a logistics thing, but the ride was pretty much comparable to California's.
Okay.
But you enter like you do in Florida, and, again, that's a weather thing.
So, yeah, I mean, not much to report there. Nothing really creepy except, you know, if the dolls did come to life and murder you. You know. But, you know, I think that was, what, last year's Halloween episode or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. that urban legend.
Urban legends. Okay, so they had Dumbo, and Dumbo was actually decorated like Halloween, so that was kind of cool.
How so? Did he have, like, a Halloween costume on?
No, they just kind of decorated the poles with, like, pumpkins and stuff, but it was themed to Dumbo, you know?
They were pumpkins.
Yeah, they were the pink elephants, yeah. Like, all over the side of it.
Yeah, ooh. They did, like, it had a banner around the outside of it, and all the different posts had pink, the pink elephant, except for they made him orange and into a pumpkin. Okay. But the same face like the pink elephant, so you can see what they were going with it. But, you know, I think that's probably the only Dumbo that gets any decoration anywhere.
Sure, yeah.
So,
yeah,
good
for them.
For them.
So they do have Pinocchio's Daring Journey there, and I didn't really notice any difference with that one.
Yeah, I think it's like it was built the same time the Disneyland Anaheim one, so it was total carbon copy.
Exactly.
Peter Pan was longer, though. They did have Peter Pan, and that was a little bit longer. I can't remember anything that was really that different about it, but I just remember that we did get off of it saying, well, that was significantly better than ours. So
that was actually the trend. We would get off of a ride in Tokyo and go, well, that's better than Walt Disney World's version.
Yeah, that's miles above everything. Wow. Well, this is great.
Kind of our theme.
Overall feel of every ride when we would get off of it was, this is better. The outside is better. Everything is better. Like, it's just, wow. It just seemed like they took more pride in building everything. So,
can you elaborate more on why you guys thought it was better?
I would say that things just felt more detailed. There was no litter in Japan. In all of 4 days of Tokyo Disney, I saw one piece of gum on the last night in a queue that was stuck to a wall, and it was freshly there.
Wow, so they're on top of it.
It's incredible. Well, in general, though, the people we noticed didn't litter. People weren't trashing things left and right there.
You could really tell that it's a locals park, more like Disneyland than Disney World. And you could tell the locals that frequent it really had pride in it and really took care of it. Everything, the paint was always good. No trash anywhere. People dropped popcorn in, like, the mulch bedding and stopped to pick it all up and stuff. You know, not just walking away from it, things like that. So it really was neat, clean. Everything looked fresh, well taken care of.
Wow.
There was no spots where you said, oh, man, that could use a little paint, or that animatronic doesn't look like it's working incorrectly. Like, they were just so on top of it. And on top of that, every parade, the show, like, if you have a seasonal parade, and they have all sorts of different seasonal parades, they have, you know, Halloween, and then it goes into Christmas, and then that goes into New Year's, and then they have other Japanese holidays out there, but they do celebrate Easter, and then they have a summer celebration. But the parades are completely new from the ground up because they have it's a locals park. You know, they don't get a lot of tourism. But it's like over here in Florida, you're lucky if you get a new parade float every now and then. And there, apparently, they just completely change everything. And, you know, even Halloween has its own theme every year. Like this one was at Disneyland was music themed. And Disney Sea had its own, but we'll get into that in a little bit. So they changed the theme of what the holiday is. And the parade floats and the outfits and the characters. Like, if you were to meet Mickey Mouse this year in Halloween garb, he's going to be wearing something completely different next year. And it's not going to be just like a slight rehash. It's a ton. It's way, way different.
Wow.
And they had such random characters appearing throughout the day that we got Marie and her two brothers from the Aristocats at once. And the Sheriff of Nottingham with Robin Hood. And I stole Robin Hood's gold that he stole from the Sheriff of Nottingham and gave it back to the Sheriff of Nottingham. I Robin Hood. I reverse Robin Hood in this situation.
That's amazing.
Speaking of weird characters, a creepy one, the fairy godmother from Cinderella, who, if you've ever seen her out at the parks in America, she's a very sweet face character, you know, very nice, polite, pleasant.
Is she a face character?
She's in America. She's
in America.
A face character.
Yeah.
In Tokyo, she's wearing a mask.
Oh, I just pulled it up. It's super creepy.
Dad, I was gonna say we'll send it to you for your wonderful Facebook group, Citizens of the Creepy Kingdom.
Yeah, shout out.
Which you maintain very well thanks to Patreon donations. So
yes,
you know,
thank you.
I think
very well. Thank you for mentioning that.
it's a wonderful thing to be a Patreon supporter of James's wonderful group. So
yeah, the fairy godmother came out for.
It's like Deadeye.
And we're That's looking really at creepy. It, and I'm like, I don't think I've ever been scared of a Disney character before. It's like, I don't know what that is, but we're going to go meet that.
Wow.
But, you know, the character interaction was better. You know, like we did a Chef Mickey's one of the nights in Tokyo, I think the first night at the hotel, and it was great. You know, we didn't stay at the hotel, but we went there for the, you know, for dinner. And just the characters were really interactive. And I think maybe we got a little extra attention because we clearly had traveled there. Mm-hmm. But they also seemed really into it. And another thing that makes it better, and I know, you know, it's just, we're kind of talking all over the place, but the people who go there, this is really bizarre. We didn't look like we were visiting there because everybody who goes there dresses up like their favorite character.
Ooh,
and I mean, when I say everybody, I mean everybody. From babies to 70-year-old men. We were waiting for Marie and her brothers, and there was this old lady who had, like, a bag with Marie's face on it with stuffed animals dangling off of it, and she had a tail and the cat ears and the shirt. And this is for everybody. Everybody chooses a character, and they have their stuffed animals. And you know what? When they go out to eat at the Disney restaurants, they have their spots for the stuffed animals at the restaurant where they are sitting there eating there. And the characters take photos with the stuffed animals. It is really odd, but it was like, this is what it should be like. People were just so happy to be there. And over here in Florida, it's like, you get the little kids that are crying and the parents saying, you know what, if you don't be quiet, I'm not going to get you that lollipop later. It's like, are you kidding me? You're bribing your kid. You spent $100 to take your kid to Disney World, and now you're bribing them with toys. And here they are. Everybody's so respectful and just happy to be there.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I will say for the characters, in Florida we have something called Character Palooza. Happens at Hollywood Studios. You get 6 to 10 random characters that come out depending on the time of Fantasmic at night, what time the characters will come out. Mulan, the Evil Queen from Snow White, you might get Stitch. You know, it's random. They do that in Tokyo Disney and at Disney Sea. They do it hourly, and there is no rhyme, no reason to what is coming out. One of the things I noticed that stood out to me the most, out comes Rapunzel and Flynn Rider together. Ooh. Alice and the Mad Hatter together. Cinderella and Prince Charming. Aurora and Prince Philip.
Oh, those characters are American. They speak they English. Are, if they are a face character that speaks English, they will stick with what they speak. However, Mulan speaks Japanese.
Chinese.
They keep with what the nationality of the character is and what language.
Oh, I was wondering how they did the face characters there. Yeah.
These are all face characters. And in Florida, if you want to meet Flynn Rider or Prince Philip or Prince Charming, you have to go to the Very Merry Christmas Party, which is a hard ticket event. And they will meet with their princess. And it will be a very long line, and you will spend a lot of your party time waiting for these characters. And here they walk out once or twice a day. And they're just free-floating, walking around this area, interacting. A lot of the face characters would approach us, probably because we're the first person they'd seen all day who could interact with them. these characters are talking in English, and everyone is following them around and laughing and smiling, and none of the people speak English.
Oh, yeah. The characters there are treated like celebrities. They will wait by where they come in and go out of, and people will take photos of their entrance. Like, it's like a wrestling match. Like, they have their entrance, and then they have their exit. But they take their photos, and they put them up, and people go there every day to see what they get, and it's different every time. There is no rhyme or reason to it, and it's in multiple spots all throughout the day, and it's like we would be walking somewhere, and it's like, oh, hey, there's the hag from Snow White right there, and it was just like we didn't even know that was an area where a character appeared, but hey, here she is, and I definitely made my moves on the hag, and she took it.
What moves did you make?
Oh, I was just, like, drawing a heart in the air and, like, giving her little kisses on the cheek and, you know, like, hugging her. And she was, like, so into it because that's the opposite reaction you're supposed to do with this. Right? Yeah. You know, we character hunt because, you know, when you have, you know, if you are fortunate enough to be an annual pass holder, you know, you can say, I can go on Dumbo for the 57th time, or you can find ways to mix it up. So you kind of, you know, find other ways to entertain yourself, just so each trip is a little different, you know?
Sure. But
the characters at Disneyland, one of them was with Scrooge McDuck. And he's another one that you only get at the Very Merry Christmas Party. And I'm sitting there going, in Florida last year, he had an hour-long line. Here he's just walking around, and kids are running up to him like nothing.
And people are dressed like Scrooge McDuck as well when they're going up to him. So it's like,
wow,
this is like some weird Twilight Zone. Like, if you can imagine, like, if you were having, like, the old, like, if you dream about Disney, like, if you have those theme park dreams and, like, things are, like, better than ever, this is it. So
I'm kind of speechless about this. They really seem to have a deep love and affection for the characters in a way that just doesn't sound like it's happening in the United States parks.
No, not at all. And, you know, the fact that, hey, meet Chip and Dale in this special outfit and this outfit, and, like, you might get them if you're paying extra for a hard ticket event here, which they don't have the hard ticket events over there from what I gathered. If you get, like, Pluto, he might have a special little collar or antlers on. Over there, he would get, like, a full-on outfit, you know, like, full-on clothes. And
Pluto in scuba gear.
You know?
And he was also out wearing some weird fish costume at one point.
Okay.
It was bizarre. It was like they took the extra effort. And knowing that if you go back there every 2 months, you're going to get a totally different outfit for them, and they don't recycle. And the whole point of this is I read online that it was designed that if you went as they changed the seasons, you would get a totally different experience each time, even if you went to Christmas the year before or Halloween the year before. This was going to be different.
Oh, so they're kind of like at Disneyland where they try, you know, it's a locals park, so they really trying to give people reasons to keep coming back.
But when parades are changing every 2 months and shows are changing every 2 months, it's really getting you to go back. It's not like, well, I saw the Halloween parade last year and, oh, they added one float different. No, it's different.
Wow.
It's total. I went online to look up a photo of something, and I'm finding crazy. I was putting Tokyo Disney Halloween, and I'm finding things. And Grant was even looking. He goes, what was that? And I was like, last year, 2 years ago. It's day and night every year. They scrap the whole thing and build it over again.
That's awesome. So you're not getting that over here.
No, God, no. It was bizarre. So back to Fantasyland, I guess.
Yeah, we got a little off there.
But it's okay because we had to go through the, you know, you kind of have to go through all aspects of, what this is like. It's so different. So the next ride of Fantasyland was Pooh's Honey Hunt.
Ooh, which, it's a signature attraction, right?
That was our favorite ride at Disneyland there. And you wouldn't think, okay, Winnie the Pooh, because you're so used to what you have here. Their ride is trackless. Pooh looks real, meaning that they went more realistic designs for what the animals were in there. Like, they look fuzzier. They're not plastic. Okay. We went on a couple times, and we sat in different pots. Like, the pots go in different directions based on which way you're going.
Oh, wow.
Like, so, you know, you might, if you, each time you ride it, because it's trackless, you know, you're going into the same room, so you might go into a different nook or cranny of that room or English muffin.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
So a lot of rewrite-ability, I guess, there.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, the Heffalumps and Woozles part, where Pooh has his little honey overdose trip that he has, like, where he eats the LSD honey, you have – it's like techno version of the song. And the pot – like, they send three pots in at a time, and the pots actually dance with each other. So you're facing the other people that you're riding, and it looks like you're going to crash into each other, and then it goes away. And you don't know where you're going to go because you're not on a track. You are hovering.
Wow. Is that unsettling? We're so used to, like, seeing tracks everywhere.
Yeah, it was unsettling. I mean, this was not my first trackless ride because we had gone to SeaWorld a few months ago for her 30th birthday, and they have their Penguin Antarctica ride or whatever, but it was nowhere near as themed as this. It was just like a, you know, it's a short ride. If you've ever been on the Penguin ride in SeaWorld Orlando, you kind of have an idea of what the cars look like then. But this was much more spinning and much more rocking, and you get into a room with Tigger, and the whole room shakes up and down, and you're in there with the other honeypots, and the whole room is actually shaking. It's not just the honeypots. They play the Tigger bounce song, but of course in Japanese, you know, so there's that. There's one other really major attraction in Fantasyland, and of course that's the Haunted Mansion, because that has to be in Fantasyland.
Wow, it's like it's in a different land than every park.
Over there is in Fantasyland.
It really hasn't figured out its nook. Every park it takes another place. Yeah. Here it counts as Fantasyland. We saw it themed for Haunted Mansion Holiday. So we were there the second week of October, and it was already in holiday attire, I guess we'll call it. Everything there, the whole outside, I would say visually, to compare it to another Haunted Mansion, it's closest to Walt Disney World in shape of the building.
Right. So what's going on the inside? Independent of Haunted Mansion Holiday, is it more like Disneyland or Walt Disney World?
I would say more like Disneyland.
Yeah.
It was kind of hard to kind of figure out where some things were because, you know, when it's all decorated for Christmas and you have Jack Skellington everywhere, there were three or four animatronics of Sally in there, so that was kind of impressive.
Nice.
It was much more – I've done the California Haunted Mansion holiday a bunch. I am a California boy originally, and it worked out really nice that when I met Brittany that she lived in Florida because we're such big Disney fans that – when we go to visit my family, we get to go to Disneyland, and then here we get to go to Disney World.
Right.
So,
it did remind me a lot of the California version, but set inside of Florida's building.
Okay.
I mean, it is a little different, but
it was a little longer.
Yeah, I think it was. But like, at least the outside structure is the same brick design. You know, just a little bit. Slightly altered, and it had a giant – had the baby carriage on the roof and all that.
They didn't have – and the nice thing with it was all practical effects for the end with the mirrors. Oh. You know, it was the old school style, not this weird CGI. We switch our head. I'm so tired of looking at screens in theme parks in general. I'm looking at you, Universal, primarily. Shots fired right there on the Creepy Kingdom.
I love Universal, but I know every attraction.
Every new thing, it's a screen-based. But anyway, you know, it followed the similar trajectory of California. There was no attic scene from what I could figure out, but maybe it was there. Madame Leota wasn't floating. She was stationary.
Hmm.
She was just a head on a ball. She wasn't going up or down.
She was Sally, wasn't she?
No, it wasn't Sally. She was just saying she was doing the 12 days of Christmas. My Gulov gave to me.
Was that, was that in English or was it in Japanese?
No, it was in Japanese.
Oh, okay.
But she wasn't floating. She was just staying there. There was no cobweb on the in the ballroom scene. There was no cobweb on any mirror hiding a crack.
Well, you know.
They didn't make Pete performance that.
I mean, unfortunately, like, the outside of it is gorgeous if you can, like, look up photos of what it looks like. But unfortunately, we got there during such an overlay that it was really hard to say what was different. You know, when you have Jack Skellington there and animatronic form and Zero there. I mean, I will say it was better done than the California Nightmare Before Christmas. The animatronics seemed a lot more articulate.
Wow.
So.
Plus, you said you got three Sallys. You know, we just got one this year. So.
I know. I remember hearing it was a big deal that Sally was in it, and we're doing the one in Tokyo, and I'm like, Sally. Oh, look, Sally. Hey, there's Sally again. At the end, instead of the hurry back that we have, it's her looking up at Jack going across the moon. And she's talking to Jack in Japanese about something.
Oh, there was a big Oogie Boogie moon. I remember that was in there. Like, it was like a projection thing where you can see him, like, turning into bats. And we got to go – you get to go through Oogie Boogie's lair.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was briefly, but you get to go through his lair momentarily. That could have been, like, if the stairway scene existed there. We were definitely going up, and it was quick with like, Lock, Shock, and Barrel there. So, yeah.
Wow. Was it the same music from
– No, they actually used Nightmare Before Christmas music throughout the whole thing.
That's incredible. That's one of my biggest criticisms of Haunted Mansion Holiday here at Disneyland is you don't get the songs.
You don't get the What's This because that's too cheery, but you get a lot of the Kidnap the Santa Claus and the
– Oh, my God. So awesome.
The whole thing. And then they had a mashup of Grim Grinning Ghosts with Kidnap the Santa Claus throughout the whole
thing. That is cool. Wow, it sounds like way better Disneyland version.
Right? So, I mean, I would say, you know, if you somehow got a cheap flight out there, like, tomorrow, don't be disappointed that the Haunted Mansion's not going to be regular Haunted Mansion. Yeah. You're still going to enjoy it.
The outside is decorated really well. I'm looking back at my photos, and it just occurred to me.
Oh, they have a pet cemetery.
They had a pet cemetery. All the headstones are in English. I didn't even think about it when we were there. All the headstones are in English and no Japanese.
But yeah, you go through a big pet cemetery in the line, so that's kind of cool. I mean, not for the poor animals, I'm sure that they're gravely missed.
Well, they have, they have it in Disneyland too, so.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I guess that's really all to say about Haunted Mansion. You know, it's just, unfortunately, there's not as much to say about it because of it was Christmas.
Hey, Roxy.
Hey, James.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know why?
Why?
Because Creepy Kingdom has officially launched a Patreon account.
Patreon? What's Patreon?
Well, let me tell you, Patreon is a way that the listeners of the show can support us.
So, like a Kickstarter?
Not exactly. Kickstarter only is a one-time thing. On Patreon, our listeners can support us every month. And in exchange for them supporting us, we will give them special, super awesome prizes.
How much do they have to pay to support us?
They can pay whatever they want. You could pay $1 a month. You could pay $10, $100. It's up to them.
That's really cool. So how can Creepy Kingdom fans find this Patreon thing?
Well, you could go to creepykingdom.com and check the show notes on our recent episodes, or you could go to patreon.com/creepykingdom. That's patreon.com.
I'm going to go check it out right now.
Me too.
They do have Toontown next door with Roger Rabbit's cartoons, man, which was exactly the same. We were like, this, even the queue, this was built at the same time.
That was a twin.
It's carbon copy. Okay.
Yeah, that was a twin.
We had Tomorrowland, and they have Star Wars Adventures Continue, and there's, you know, that's the same. Stitch Encounter was really bizarre.
I really liked Stitch Encounter. They warned us going in. The cast members like, you know, this is in Japanese, and we're like, yes, that's the point. It wouldn't be as much fun if we understood.
Now, is this Stitch's Great Escape or
no?
No.
No, it is not the Blight on Tomorrowland. Stitch Encounter, if you've ever been to Epcot, they have Turtle Talk with Crush.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And they have that at DCA, too.
Okay, that is the closest thing. It is not the same, but it is interactive like Turtle Talk. Stitch is in his rocket, traveling through space, and he's able to communicate with the people in this room on his way home. He flirts with a girl, and then he realizes that the person next to the girl is the boyfriend, so then he'll be all nice to the girl and then mean to the boyfriend. They can take photos, like on Star Tours takes a photo of somebody. They have that in the ride, and Stitch will be like, oh, from what I interpreted, someone in here works for, you know, the Galactic Federation. It's so-and-so, and someone's photo from inside the room will pop up on the screen.
Oh, okay.
And talk to people. He'll ask questions. I assume he was asking questions.
Yeah.
And he'll interact with people based on their answers. So it is a unique experience every time. It is 100% in Japanese.
And somebody was trying to and he has to escape eventually, and the kids have to, like, direct him which way to his spaceship by saying, I think it was, like, A, B, or C, and the letters were the same. The kids were actually singing A, B, or C, and I was trying to get them to get Stitch to go actually to his captor instead and, like, you know, get captured instead of escape. And I got a lot of weird looks from Japanese children.
What else is new?
I was about to say, I think he got a lot of weird looks from Japanese people. Grant was taller than all the characters in Japan, including Goofy.
I'm 6'2", 240 pounds, so like I am like a giant over there.
He was, I noticed like in Hong Kong he was not taller than Goofy, but in Japan he was taller than Goofy. And several of the characters, like Goofy did, Donald Duck did in one place, were indicating that he was so tall. Like, they were trying to reach his head and stuff. Like, it was fascinating to them that he was so tall.
That's funny.
So, Let's see. They have Space Mountain there. That was really good. It was if you remember Disney, the neat thing with this was if you remember Disneyland, like what it used to look like in the late 80s, early 90s, where you had to take a conveyor belt up to
the... Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
They have that there.
Oh, cool.
The ride is pretty much the same. It felt a lot smoother.
Yeah.
Like you could tell it was probably a more recent rebuild of the ride. Because, you know, some the one out here can kind of jerk you around if you're sitting in the wrong spot. But, yeah, it was neat. The only other really major ride that we haven't talked about there was called Monsters, Inc. Ride and Go Seek.
Ooh, yeah, I forgot about that, with the flashlight, right?
Yeah, it's flashlight tag. It's you're looking for the monsters and you're trying not to shoot Boo, who is dressed like monsters, with the flashlight. It was really cute. We only did it once because that ride has such a long wait in general. It's not. I mean, some of the monsters in there, I guess, were kind of creepy, but it was primarily just like, this is a cute ride that you can take your, you know, your little girl on or your little boy on and not be worried about anything.
Right.
Right. I mean, in general, Monsters, Inc. isn't creepy. Like, even though there's monsters in it, it's pretty bright and friendly.
They're very brightly cheery, you know, characters.
Right.
And then I guess the only other thing really to talk about with Tokyo Disneyland were some of the shows that we went to.
The shows and the parade.
I'm not going to talk about all the shows because that's going to get really boring, and this is already probably too much of like what I did on my summer vacation. You know? But they had a show called One Man's Dream 2, The Magic Lives On. Which
two?
We weren't really...
Wow.
It's a sequel. I'm going to have to find... One Man's Dream, the original. If you're familiar with the Walt Disney World One Man's Dream, it's a walkthrough in a back corner of Hollywood Studios that is often forgotten about. In Tokyo, it's a 35 or so minute show.
Huh.
With all of the Disney villains.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Maleficent with her little green cronies. The guy from Hunchback Notre Dame, that I'm forgetting what his name is. Frollo, yeah. They all are coming out there, and there are special effects and inflatables and fire. The whole stage, when Frollo comes out, he sings some song in Japanese, and fire is going left and right all over the stage. And it was fantastic. Maleficent appears after Frollo comes out, and she comes out in smoke, and then they build the, inflatable briars come out from, like, when Prince Philip fights, and they have the fight there. It's total history of Disney films in 35 minutes with Pixar and Jungle Book. Like, I'm talking older Jungle Book, not Bill Murray Blue.
Right.
Original Jungle Book, a lot of Bug's Life
was in it. Set change after set change. Like, they probably did 9 or 10 set changes in this 35-minute show with special effects for each one. It wasn't like, oh, this is just filler for them getting ready for the next one. You know, it was a big deal. And, that was probably one of our favorite shows we saw in the entire thing. They do have the electrical parade there, and a couple floats were different. They have a different Pete's Dragon float where Elliot is actually holding Pete, like he's sitting down. The electrical parade was a lot more technical. It was almost like it was somewhere between the electrical parade and Paint in the Night. Like, it was kind of like the stepstone in between that.
You could see the technological advancements from the original electrical parade, but not quite to Paint the Night yet. So,
halfway there.
Yeah, they had a really cool Cheshire Cat float. The Genie.
Oh, God.
The Genie float was probably my favorite. Genie could turn himself into all the different characters in the parade and did so randomly. And then he'd be the Queen of Hearts. And then he was a Cheshire Cat. And there, you know, he just switched randomly throughout the parade, you'd see him. He was Tigger for a while. He went through all the Winnie the Pooh characters and things like that.
Now, and then one other thing to talk about at Disneyland was they did have a Halloween parade. And yeah, it was cute and adorable, but one really neat thing with it was that all the floats shot these bubbles out. And the bubbles were filled with smoke. So when you would pop the bubbles, like, it would be like a little Batman-style smoke bomb just appeared. And it actually would, like, as kids popped it, the whole area would just get incredibly smoky and, like, more spooky. And this was during the day, but I just thought that was, like, a really neat touch.
Yeah, at first we thought it was going to be like a little pre-show parade, which is what it was. It was a pre-show parade, but we were thinking it was going to be like a little 1 to 2 float thing. No, it was a full-size parade.
Yeah. Oh, and they still have the 3 o'clock parade there as well, which is huge. So they have two big daytime parades.
So they love parades out there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the notable characters in their parade with big roles that were popular, Max Goof was in the same float as Mickey Mouse.
Wow.
And he's one in Florida. He comes out at their Character Palooza in Hollywood Studios, and people run up to him going, "Everyone go say Baby Goofy." They don't know who he is, and they refer to him as like a Baby Goofy. So here, big deal, and they know who he is.
I wonder if there's more backstory there. If like in Japan, they know what's going on with his mom. Just every time you see Goofy, just remember he lost his wife.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah,
it's, you know, like,
dark.
It's dark, but they never really get into it, you know? Yeah. But, you know, it's cute. They focus more on obscure characters like the Three Little Pigs.
Yeah, that's the only time I've ever seen the Three Little Pigs acknowledged at Disney. They were in both the Halloween parade and their regular afternoon parade. Their float was really cool. It took me a while to get what it was. It was like a mummified hand covered in candy.
You're like, what is
that? I figured out. And then I realized they were bandaged up fingers on the back of it. I was like, oh, it's a hand covered in candy.
We'll have her send you some photos of this. That way you can put it up on your blog. Because it's kind of hard for me to explain what we were seeing. But if you see the photo, it'll make more sense.
Right. They also had Huey, Dewey, and Louie, which, again, that's the first time I've really seen them acknowledged in a Disney park. As well as Stitch with Angel, or as I usually hear at a Disney World, Pink Stitch.
So,
or Girl Stitch, Pink Stitch. Yeah, she was out. They were, Stitch was pretty awesome. He was a punk rocker on top of his spaceship. And
they were all music themed for the parade.
He was a punk rocker, and Stitch had a mohawk. Throughout the parade, it's a giant mohawk.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we'll send you that. That you'll want that. But, you know, I will say also a quick digression is most snacks that you get there came with, like, a little souvenir. So, you know, yeah, you get your pop bucket, but if you get something with, like something that required a spoon, you get a full-on metal spoon with, like, a Mickey waffle on the top of it, like a classic Mickey waffle. Like, it was, you got souvenirs just by buying food.
Oh, that's sure awesome.
In like little ceramic, and not like little plastic things. We had like ceramic mugs, small plates. I got a kid's meal in one place because you got a full size plate with it for Tokyo Disney Sea's 15th anniversary. And I was like, well, I'll be ordering the kid's meal because I want the plate. So it's a neat way to get souvenirs, and it's an easy souvenir that can change out. We got a lot of Halloween ones that are now
Christmas.
We got a miniature casserole dish. One of the things came in a small casserole dish.
Wow. And you can actually bake a casserole in it if you want to. So
how'd you get all this stuff home?
Very carefully.
We also maybe packed an extra bag knowing going to a bunch of Disney, you know?
Yeah.
So, that kind of wraps up Disneyland. Are you ready for Disney Sea?
Let's take a moment and take it all in. It's like Disney Sea. Tokyo Disney Sea. This is a theme park that Many of the concepts were originally for a park that they were going to build in Long Beach, California.
Correct.
Everybody got scrapped, and now it's over in Japan. And then I think about that all the time, because that's where the Queen Mary is. And I've gone to the Queen Mary's Halloween attraction 3 times this year, the Queen Mary Dark Harbor. And I just keep thinking, like, what if Disney still had this in land? What would we have? You guys have the answers to that. So please share.
Okay, yeah. But I will say, if it got built in California, it would have been majorly cost cut. I don't think it would have been nearly as glorious or marvelous as what they get. Also, I will say that Tokyo Disney property is run 50-50 by Disney and then something, I believe it's the Oriental Trading Company.
Okay.
So they have, if you're wondering why things sound like they've got, they're better, they are being financed by a different group than the Disney Company. It's a Disney they're Disney parks that are run by Disney, but financed by somebody else. And the president of that is fancying himself as the new Walt Disney. So he is all about building new attractions every year. So that's why they're fresh. Whereas here, hey, you want nacho cheese? That used to be free. Now it's 25 cents. And that water bottle is now 50 cents more. Enjoy your premium parking for $35. You know, like, they're it's funny, but it's not when you're, like, noticing the money bleeding here. You know, and they're like, we're going to put money into attractions. So Disney Sea, I didn't really know what to expect of this park, except everywhere I had read is this is way better than any place you will ever go to. This is the bucket list theme park.
Really? Okay.
Any of them. And you walk in and you just see this giant lake. And you see the volcano in the background and Tower of Terror, but you're like thinking, this park doesn't look very big, and I don't see very many attractions. And that's because it's so big, it has to contour to – it's actually built on the ocean. So they have to contour to the actual sea.
Oh, nice.
So to get to some attractions, there's no – like, if you're at Disneyland and I said, you know, let's meet me in Toontown – you could go to the right if you wanted to, or you can walk through Adventureland. I don't know why you would do that. If you wanted to say, you know what, there's a Haunted Mansion, I'd much rather be at the Haunted Mansion than going into Toontown. but there's a circular way around the park, whereas this one, there's none. It's kind of like there's no central hub. You go in and you have to you're going to do a lot of walking and a lot of backtracking.
It was very hard to wrap my mind around finding things in this park because you don't have a central hub. The center is a volcano. You can't walk through it or around it.
No.
So it was – sometimes I'd be like, are we near this? We can't be. I'm so, you know, confused. It will take a while for your brain to adjust to how this park works.
Yeah, it's very different, and it's also – you know, we were gone for a total of 3 weeks, and over the whole thing, according to the iPhone pedometer, we walked 164 miles. So,
wow.
So romantic, I know.
And that's how you can eat all the food at Disney and not gain any weight. You walked 164 miles.
So, wow. You know, you go there, and if you go to the left, you see the Tower of Terror. And we'll just talk about Tower of Terror, because that's a good creepy item. It's gorgeous. It's a brick building. It doesn't look like our Tower of Terror because it has no Twilight Zone theme. It looks like a Victorian manor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually – the storyline with it is actually connected with what's going to happen in a future episode, Mystic Manor.
Mystic Manor. Wow.
There is a connection we'll explain that next time on Creepy Kingdom when we get to Hong Kong Disneyland, which I promise will be a shorter episode because we didn't do as much in Hong Kong. It's smaller. But the idea of this is that the owner of the Explorers Club or Adventurers Club, it was one of the two, found an idol, and the idol caused bad luck. And there is a really cool thing that happens, and this is kind of a little spoiler alert. So here we go.
All right.
James, you can cover your ears if you want to.
No, it's all right. I'll listen. I'll take one for the team.
Where you go into the pre-show, and the idol comes to life and starts freaking out on everybody, and it full-on vanishes in front of your eyes. Wow. And when you look at the pre-show room, this physical object, it's gone. It's not like you can see, like, there was a mirror, and I'm sure if I looked into it, I could find out how it was done, but I'd really rather not. And then you go on the ride, and you go through this area. I think the storyline was really hard to figure out at this point because it was in Japanese. I was thinking you're trying to recover the idol, but it is an up-and-down Tower of Terror. There's no Florida part where you go through the dark ride or anything like that.
Oh, so it's like DCA.
It's like that, but the effects were much neater, and the idol was tormenting you throughout the ride. So it was more like there was a villain involved. Explorers Club, if you remember, was a club actually at Pleasure Island in Disney World way back when.
Mm-hmm.
So these are connected, and there's also a connection in Shanghai Disney as well.
Oh,
so,
wow, that's awesome.
It's seeing something that's like kind of related to everything. So the Tower of Terror, we only got to do it once, but it was really neat. Also, you had to wear an overhead, if you're getting into your car, that type of a seatbelt that crosses one shoulder.
Hmm.
Not your normal buckle across the waist only. It was like the driver's seat of a car. Right.
I will say it was it didn't feel as tall. Like, the building itself was taller, but the drop, I don't think it was 13 stories. I think it was closer to 9 or 10. You know, but the effects throughout the ride more than made up for it.
What?
Yeah, visually, I think that's the prettiest Tower of Terror of them all. I took a lot of photos of, like, the outside of the building, just different, like, signs and the decor around it. Mm. One of the Tokyo Disney Sea character meet and greet spots was oddly the side of Tower of Terror, which
the rescuers came out from there at one point.
I got to meet the rescuer.
That's so random.
And if you obviously you're at Disneyland, you know that you would never see that. That would never happen where you were. And here it was just like a, hey, by the way, they sell their merchandise in the parks.
Oh, yeah, there were people running up to the rescuers holding their stuffed animals. And I was like, where did you get those? I do think that's a really good place to put characters because if you're too young, too short, too scared for Tower of Terror, but your bigger siblings, a parent, someone is going on it. There's an alternative thing to be doing right outside the entrance.
Right.
So, like I said, I met the rescuers. The other photo there, I have walking arm in arm, Donald Duck, Clarice from Chip and Dale, and Scrooge McDuck were out while we were getting on Tower of Terror.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. There's one ride next to it, and that's Toy Story Mania.
That's right. What is the theme of this land? It's got Tower of Terror and Toy Story Mania.
Okay, but
they're neighbors.
Now, Toy Story Mania is actually much scarier than Tower of Terror, and I put a video up in Citizens of the Creepy Kingdom that day.
To explain why we did not ride Toy Story.
You enter in through Woody's mouth. And from what I looked up, I made sure it was it wasn't like different or anything like that. It's the same ride, different queue, obviously.
Okay.
But the line to get a fast pass for this ride, they're on paper fast passes. The sea of people stretched back for a quarter of a mile.
Wow.
And this was probably 7 or 8 people, and I'm sure you've probably seen the video.
I've seen
it. Or it's just these people hoping to get a line. And as I was going there, like, okay, to get there's a couple shows out there where you have to have fast passes. And, like, they do a lottery system for the shows. because the shows maybe hold smaller amounts of people. So you have to, like, get a fast pass type thing for this, and, like, you get a little happy tone if you're going to get to see the show.
Oh, wow.
So, I was by this area because I said, let's go and get tickets for this show for later. And I said, let's go and take a look at this Toy Story Midway Mania. And this was 5 minutes, 10 minutes after the park had opened. And the fast passes were already going for 6:20 at night.
Whoa. What is people's obsession with this ride? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I think it's cute, but it's not like a thing where if I don't go on it, anytime I'm at, you know, the four-ride park that is Hollywood Studios now, I'm not going to cry, you know? We never did it, but it's just like you enter in through Woody's mouth, and that's creepy as heck.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just want to walk through Woody's mouth. I'm not sure. The wait time ran about 2 hours consistently throughout the day, which is a little worse than Hollywood Studios. But Hollywood Studios, you could still go there the day of and get a fast pass.
Well, they also just added a third track at Hollywood Studios, so that's
helping. But the area's themed really nice. That was one of two rides over this whole trip where we couldn't get a fast pass and we could not bring ourselves to get in the queue.
So yeah, we'll come to that other thing in a few episodes, or a couple episodes.
But it is creepy. I sent you a photo so you could put up. Yeah. If you enjoy being eaten by a 20-foot tall Woody face, it's the ride for you. It's really eerie.
But well, yeah, the creepiest aspect is the fact that people to wait for a fast pass. We're willing to wait in a quarter mile long line. It's just ridiculous.
And you knew that. They were, I think Tokyo Disney seems open until like 10. So 10 minutes into the park being open and the fast passes are for 6:20, you know 9/10 of that line didn't get anything for it.
Wow.
So.
That's nuts. Yeah.
So anyway, the next area is Port Discovery. That first area that we were in was called the American Waterfront, and you enter in through the Mediterranean Harbor. But, yeah, American Waterfront is where Tower of Terror and Toy Story are. Next area is very empty right now, Port Discovery. They have a thing called Aquatopia, which was kind of neat. It's have you ever been on bumper boats?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like at, like miniature golf places and stuff?
Yeah.
So it's like that, but it's you don't control it, and you're not bumping into each other. But it's trackless, kind of like the Winnie the Pooh thing. It's all outdoors. Actually, it's that ride that they just opened up at California Adventure, but on water.
The Cars ride.
The Rocking Roadster Luigi thing.
The Mater. Yeah.
Put that on two boats.
Put that in. Imagine that you're in a inflatable thing on water. And apparently in the summer, if it's hot, you will get wet. But they don't have that going on, you know. When we were there, it was warm, but it wasn't warning, let's soak you. There is one other big ride, but it was going through a full-on remodel. Apparently, there was something called Storm Chaser there, and it was a simulator-type ride. And they are now rebuilding it into the Marine Institute from Finding Dory, where it's going to be a Finding Dory-themed ride and aquarium. Oh, so, wow. It's a big thing, and that's opening up next year. To show you how quickly Tokyo Disney builds things, is next year is the Finding Dory ride. 2018, Disney Sea is getting Soarin' with their little opening where you exit Tokyo Disney Sea. 2019, Disneyland is getting a Be Our Guest ride. Like a trackless Beauty and the Beast ride. And I think it's 2021 for the 50th or for their Tokyo Disney Sea's 20th anniversary. They're getting a whole Norway land with a Frozen roller coaster.
They're building their own Arendelle,
so they
rather
have,
than taking a country and turning into it.
So they have a whole new land they're building for that. So they've got four rides on the horizon for the next 5 years.
Versus, wow, so they're like Universal Orlando, man. They're just cranking it
out. Yeah, whereas when I got, I moved here 3 years ago, and I saw them starting on Avatar, and they're still working on Avatar, and it's okay.
It's frustrating.
Yeah, it's frustrating when you see thing like when you see them, and they're putting so much care and speed into building things, and going next year we'll have this, next year we'll have this, and here it's like, yeah, we can't even get Rivers of Light going. But, you know, they converted a ride, and a lot of people are kind of upset with that because they took an original property, which was Storm Chaser, and turning it into an established property like Finding Dory. But I guess that's just kind of the way it goes.
Yep.
Okay, so next area is Lost River Delta, and they have Indiana Jones Adventure Temple of the Crystal Skull. And that is a sequel to the Disneyland ride.
Ooh.
A different skull, different area, different opening. You do, when you're going through the line, go through this giant foreboding statue, and this thing was monstrous. Like, and you're walking under it, and it's just some giant Mayan god. And the ride itself is the same system with different scenes. It's more realistic, meaning, like, the giant snake that comes to attack you in the California version,
Yeah. That's
kind of cartoony-looking. This looks like a real snake. Also, The area where the wind is, like, they're blowing wind at you, like the dart part, where it's like paintings on the wall. These are full-on engraved sculptures that are doing it. So it's like, there's different scenes, it's a different storyline, and a different treasure you're going after. There's still the ball that goes after you, but from what I've read, it's more designed as a sequel to the original ride instead of a reimagining.
On Japanese, of course, right?
Of course, yeah. Japanese Harrison Ford. And then they have one other ride in that area called Raging Spirits, which... it's a roller coaster that's looping, and you go through fire, and there's fire on water and things like that. It's not anything really that special. It was really neatly themed, but it was like a minute and a half roller coaster that it was basically like, we have a smaller spot of land. Where can we put this?
Okay.
So, what can we put here? It is really neatly themed. It fits in right with the Indiana Jones mythology. But, you know, it was a good one-timer.
Right.
You go from there and you go into the Arabian coast where they have a thing called the Magic Lamp Theater. And we were like, what is this? And it's a 3D show with the genie. And we're going, okay, this is going to be kind of rough to watch in Japanese. And the genie works incredibly well in Japanese. The manicness of it. But it's more like Terminator 2 3D because you have live actors on stage interacting with the 3D. But they're actually being picked up by the genie and getting thrown around and stuff. Like, they're interacting more with it. And you can still kind of tell the spot, like, what the storyline was. But we really enjoyed it. It wasn't creepy at all, but it was fun.
Okay.
You would be able to follow along even if you didn't know the language like we did.
So. Now, at this point, we went on what became my favorite ride of all time.
All time? Of any ride ever?
My favorite ride ever.
Wow.
Sinbad's Storybook Voyage. Okay. And I can't believe that I'm saying that Sinbad's Storybook Voyage is my favorite ride. But what it was, you get on this ride, and, like, we didn't know what this was. And it's basically Small World meets Pirates of the Caribbean. There's no drops.
Okay.
There's 170 animatronic figures. It's 10.5 minutes. The entire thing is in Japanese. You have no idea what's going on. The whole thing is a song. Like, it's a story. It's like you're going through a giant musical number, and they gave us lyrics when we went on there. And I was going, what the heck is this? And the animatronics look like what Superstar Limo, a defunct attraction, California Adventure, like kind of like that style where it's big heads on small bodies.
Right.
And it's Sinbad and his tiger Chandu, and it's a tiger cub, and they're going to restore, like, help their city out, and their city is poor, and they're going around doing really good deeds, and the animatronics are so well done, and the song was so incredibly freaking catchy. I still have it stuck in my head in Japanese.
Wow.
And this is about a month later. And it's never going to leave. And the animatronics were so big and monstrous, and the ride was so happy. I mean, I would hate to tell somebody to watch a video of it if they're planning on going there, but if you're not going to go there, I cannot do this ride justice as to how intricately themed it was. And it's 11 minutes, and you're going through these areas, and there's like a giant that Sinbad helps get out of the prison, and, you know, there's some monkeys that he helps bring order to, and some mermaid or some sirens that he helps out, and he helps, rocks, ROCs, like the giant flying eagle type creatures.
Okay.
He helps them return their eggs, and just, it's so happy, and he helps this whale out, and you get off, and we're really happy, and we went back to the hotel room that night. I was like, I need to know more about this ride and what this deal is. And the song is by Alan Menken, who did, like, all the Beauty and the Beast music and all that.
Oh, okay. All the Renaissance stuff.
This ride shut down for a year. This ride, if you go on this ride, watch the original version of the ride. The original version of the ride was considered a horror ride.
Hmm.
Okay, there was no song. You go through the city at the beginning of the ride, and everybody is basically hiring Sinbad as a mercenary to kill all these things and take their gold to bring order to the town and bring the town wealth. So when you go by the mermaids, they were trying to kill him in the original version. The giant is eating the men on the original version of the ride. The monkeys are trying to kill Sinbad. He's stealing the eggs from the rock in the original version. There was no tiger cub. They added the tiger to make it more family-friendly. So they actually took a ride that was considered very dark, and they made it like a happy, family-friendly musical.
Wow, that's bizarre.
I'll say, like, I'm not going to send you, like, ride-through videos, but I'll put them up in the Creepy Kingdom. Just like this is what this looked like before, like, of a couple of scenes, and this is what it looks like now. And it's weird because I feel like I would have absolutely loved it because I watched the creepy version. And I absolutely enjoyed it. But I love this version more. I kind of felt like they made the right call because apparently it wasn't getting a lot of people in, and a lot of people felt like it was a depressing ride. And it's kind of weird because it's an original ride. It's not based on a pre-existing movie or thing that they have.
Right. Yeah, it's really bizarre, the whole thing, to me.
Yeah, so, anyway, there's that. You know, my favorite ride ever is this happy Alan Menken ride, so I guess that removes my creepy kingdom status right there.
Oh, boy.
Five-year-olds going on this. This ride has no weight, ever. I don't even think people realize it.
It's in a weird corner of the park.
It's in the corner where we met Stitch and Angel, who were out for a random meet and greet.
But,
so,
you know, and then they have their Little Mermaid area there, and they don't have a Little Mermaid ride, but they do have an aerial show.
aerial.
You're sitting down, and Ariel is floating above you on wire work.
Cirque du Soleil Little Mermaid edition.
With a 15-foot-tall animatronic King Triton.
That's kind of intimidating.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really cool. It's just like, and then we have our version here in Florida, the Little Mermaid show, where everybody is on the ground and we're getting a VHS quality video screen, and here's deep work puppets and wire work and people flipping out all over the place with water effects and all that. It's insane. Now, there's one more area called Mysterious Island. And they have the Journey to the Center of the Earth ride, which is through the volcano. And unfortunately, that ride was shut down.
Because that's like a destination attraction. I've heard so many great things about that ride.
And we will not watch videos of this because we already have our next trip planned out.
Oh, boy.
That's how much we love DisneySea. They do have the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea ride where you're shooting flashlights at, like, underwater creatures and stuff, which was really cool. We did that a couple times. It's like the next version of the Finding Nemo subs, except you're not in a sub. You're in an individual car.
Huh.
Is it
just as tight and claustrophobic as the Finding Nemo?
Oh yeah, it's tight and claustrophobic, and you're going through dark spots.
You're in a little capsule, and the ride is very dark under there. So yeah.
You know, and the thing is they don't really have a lot more rides there, but this park is more of a show park and parade park, and their Fantasmic had more villains. It was entirely on the water. There's like this cone that everything comes out of, and the cone shoots fire and fireworks out of, and random characters appear out of this giant cone in the water. And it blew our Fantasmic away.
Wow, well, I think the Walt Disney World Fantasmic is the worst one because Disneyland at least has the better dragon.
Yes, I'll agree with that. This one actually has a better dragon.
Uh-huh.
This has a combination animatronic and inflatable one.
Huh.
So, yeah. You know, and this was primarily shows, and I'm not really going to go into it because none of it's really creepy.
Uh-huh.
But
unless you're terrified of Duffy the Bear.
Yeah, if you're terrified of Duffy the Bear, and, you know, Shelley May, you are like, in for like nightmare fuel because man, that is.
We're still singing the Duffy song around the house.
So, but I will say that I felt like even though I talked less about DisneySea, there was more to do at DisneySea because there were more characters, more things to walk around and look at. There were a lot of shows there. So, you know, if we had to go back and we had 3 days, you know, the extra day would go to DisneySea.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. One neat thing I noticed, DisneySea had a show called Big Band Beat, which, interestingly, was completely in English. All big band songs, and Mickey Mouse played the drums.
Oh, nice.
So you know Mickey Mouse is a drummer. He played them there, and he played them at a show in Disneyland as well. So I learned Mickey's a drummer. That show was completely in English, and I guess they change out the songs periodically, so the show is a little different every year or so. You might get a couple different change-outs.
But, yeah, I mean, we did 56 hours of Tokyo Disney in 96 hours.
Wow, so you guys went hard.
We were there until 10 p.m.
Yeah, we were there at park opening, and we were there at park closing and beyond. If there was, like, Fantasmic, or we did a character dining after the park closed. Yeah.
Now, we did do a few other things in Tokyo, which I promise I'll keep this brief, but this will be of interest to you.
Okay.
Because, okay, we went to this place called Tokyo Dome City right by the hotel the next day, and they had a ride called the Dive, which was a shooting ride. And you get in the vehicle, and you're standing up, and you're not harnessed in anything. And that's because they have different laws of what can be done in a ride. So you would never stand in something that you weren't harnessed in at. And it's not like this was – it was spinning as well. So you had to actually hold on to this ride as you were shooting at things. They also had something called the Tokyo Panic Cruise, which was a shot-for-shot version of Spider-Man in Orlando, except it was with some furry fox creature. So, you know, if you're in the furry community, you would absolutely love Tokyo Panic Cruise. And then we had the thing that I pretty much got killed over by Brittany. Okay. I saw a thing called the Haunted House of Baby.
What? Which we... It's like a weird translation. Haunted House of Babies. This can't be too bad.
It's a walkthrough haunted house, and there were baby heads everywhere
throughout this.
And it was all about, like, dead babies and, like, we're walking through this thing, and it's a walkthrough, and, of course, I'm getting her nails, like, clenched into my back because, of course, I have to do this. And there were animatronic dead babies left and right. And
oh, my God.
Apparently, if you go through during the night, there are scare actors that are dead babies. And there was a point where we actually were walking through, and we were being followed by a robotic, like an animatronic, like bassinet on wheels that was just following us through this thing. And, like, I guess it resets, but it was censored, so it knew if you walked to move closer. So if you took one step, it would get a little closer to you, and you would just hear, like, baby crying in there. And it was like, I don't know why this was scary for them. It was just more of a, what the heck are we witnessing?
This was all at the Dome City place?
Tokyo Dome City, and that's one of these places where Tokyo Dome is... They have, like, a big roller coaster, which we didn't get on because it wasn't operating due to the rain. It's where they play baseball and they have concerts at. So they have individual attractions that you can walk by and, like, pay for an attraction. So we're like, you know, we don't need to do a Ferris wheel, but we'll go and pay for the dark rides because that's unique stuff that you can't get anywhere else.
Right, sure.
It's like a shopping mall attached to an arena.
With, like, My Neighbor Totoro stores and stuff in there.
Restaurants, things like that. But there's dark rides. It might be a couple stores, and then there's a dark ride. Yeah. There was an area with some outdoor kiddie attractions. So you could make a day of it if, say, you were going to a concert there at night. A lot of professional wrestling uses Tokyo Dome. A lot of big concerts go to Tokyo Dome, so you could make a day out of it.
So, you know, we went from there. We went to a cat cafe where, you know, you go in and you pay and play with kitties for a while and they deliver you food. And,
what do you mean they deliver you food? Don't brush by that one.
We had eight cats, so we needed to see cats because we had just come from getting married and then Disney. So we had been about a week and a half, about 8 or 9 days without seeing cats. So we needed that.
Not true. I chased the Aristocats around Tokyo Disneyland.
So, you know, that's not really creepy, but, you know, I guess the cats stealing your food potentially might be kind of scary.
Yeah, I brought you these adorable little, like, tents with your food. And I'm thinking, why do we need a tent? Oh, yeah, cats.
Now,
I was like putting this together and I'm like, because these cats probably are used to people slipping them food, so they probably just take what they want.
Yeah, you see, and then they told us, you know, we had to wait like an hour and a half before we went in there, so we decided to like walk down these weird back streets and we saw a pet store and we're like, okay, well, let's go into this pet store. And they're selling owls for the equivalent of about $1,500.
Owls.
They're
nice.
Owls. Five different species of owls that we saw. We saw great horn, barn owls. Thinking, you know, I don't know how I would get this home. But you can buy an owl there if you have $1,500 in U.S. money just to burn. So just go in there and buy an owl.
All right.
So we went to this place called Sega Joypolis, which is an ultra arcade where they had, like, dark rides and stuff. We couldn't do very much because we went on a public holiday and we didn't realize it. And but they did have interesting attractions that we couldn't get to. Like, they had a roller coaster through the building that flipped you and spun, but the whole time you're playing a dance music rhythm game with your hands. So, like, picture, like, Dance Dance Revolution for your hands while you're going on a spinning roller coaster that's flipping upside down. So that was kind of neat.
Hmm. I'm pretty sure most people get, like, a score of 0 on it, unless you've got some real hand-eye spinning coordination.
So
sounds very complicated.
So the next day, we went to the scariest place of the entire trip. Sanrio Pearl Land, also known as Hello Kitty Land.
Hello Kitty Land. Oh, my God.
And
he went willingly.
I went willingly, and they have two rides there. One is a Hello Kitty Small World boat ride, which Hello Kitty is getting married, which is disturbing because she's six. So apparently, and her dad is willingly giving her away. So it's like,
but
I guess
in cat years, she's older than six. It works
so I guess
out,
that's
sure.
Okay.
Right.
But it was just really bizarre. They also have a ride where it randomly takes her photo. And then they sell you photos of you on the ride. And I caught on to what was going on. So I was totally taking, like, photos of me falling asleep on the thing. And you meet Hello Kitty. And when you meet Hello Kitty, you meet her dad. And one weird propensity that the characters have there is they will touch your stomach and grab it and jiggle it. this is at Disney as well. Like, they just figure... If you are a person with any sort of stomach, and I Googled this, it's not to be taken offensively. It's like a luck thing.
Oh, and like a Buddha, right?
Hello Kitty's dad rubbed my belly, and it was kind of a weird, bizarre thing.
The Aristocats did that to him as well.
Yeah, like multiple characters did it, and it was like a – I was like, I'm not sure. I mean, I could stand to lose 20 pounds, but I'm like, I don't feel like I'm this giant dude. And it's just, that's the way it is. And, like, they will touch you. Characters will maybe handle you more than they will, like, at Disney. Over here, they'll hug you and they'll high-five you. Here, they will play with you and they will ruffle your hair and they'll, like, push you around a little bit playfully.
He got lifted up off the ground
by Goofy.
No, it was Pluto.
Oh, Pluto, yeah.
Yeah, he got lifted up off the ground a good few inches
that's
by Pluto.
That's amazing.
But, you know, you couldn't see that there. But, you know, Pearl Land was bizarre because it was so well-themed and they had to have a parade fit in there. And it's inside a building. So they had, like, golf carts that were well-themed. In there was a show, this Alice in Wonderland show with Hello Kitty in Wonderland. And this is fine. And then you start getting this storyline where the Queen of Hearts is mad because her husband is off to play golf in Hawaii. And, okay, there were English subtitles.
Yeah, they had like a screen on the side that had translation, so we could.
So we knew what was going on, and then he was sending his best friend to take comfort with his wife,
okay,
the Jack, and saying, "I'm just not feeling satisfied anymore." And he's like, "Here's Jack. He'll satisfy you." And Hello Kitty is conversing in this whole thing, saying, "Don't you think it would be better if you satisfied your wife instead of playing golf?"
And she's dressed as Alice in Wonderland, and the White Rabbit is accompanying her as they're having this conversation.
But the character that's causing all the problems is the Black Rose, who is dressed straight out of Tim Curry, like Tim Curry from Rocky Horror Picture Show. And he does a fabulous musical review. Pictures will be up later, and he's wearing fishnet stockings, and he's singing and dancing with Hello Kitty, and it was just, and like we thought this little show was going to be over in like 10 minutes. It was a 42-minute production.
Wow!
And they sold DVDs, and I really wish I had bought a DVD of it because I feel like I need to show it to people so they understand what's going on, that this is a real thing.
The neat thing, Hello Kitty had a parade, and like I said, this is a tiny little building. Hello Kitty rides into her own parade. She ascends from the ceiling on a float that comes down and like it makes this big dramatic grand entrance.
So
definitely memorable. Wow. We left there. I asked Grant to take some photos, and he gave me a collection of photos of the Black Rose. So many photos of this Black Rose.
We did some other things, obviously, that really don't pertain to this show or the listeners. But, you know, last day we were there, we went to a place called Yokohama Sea Paradise, which is like their version of SeaWorld, except the creepy aspect of it was... It was depressing as heck. Like, all the animals were, like, in really small areas. And that was, like, the low point of the entire part of Japan. Was, like, seeing dolphins with, like, no room. So, you know, I guess that was kind of creepy.
Yeah, they had a couple rides there. They had a neat roller coaster. And
it is.
They had like a little river rapid ride that was really creepy because I don't think it had been worked on since 1960 or so.
Yeah, it was definitely a relic of the 70s. We did go to a Pokemon Center store out there.
Two of them, shamelessly.
You know, and another place by there was called Cosmo World, which is another thing where you just pay per ride. And they had, we went on a haunted house ride there. We just said, let's do the haunted house, where they locked us in a cage and took us through it. And these things were screaming at us, holding up scrolls in Japanese. And I couldn't figure out anything more about it, but it's like, I guess this would be scary if I was in, if I spoke the language. And the last major thing that we did there that I guess I need to talk about is Namco Namcha Town. Which is based on the Pac-Man area, but he wasn't in there. And they had, like, weird rides where we got to destroy each other as zombies and stuff like that, where they put our photos up and we had to kill each other. So that was kind of neat. I would recommend...
That's what you want to do on your honeymoon, you know?
Sounds romantic.
Yeah. You know, and we got to do a thing where we got to fight Godzilla, which was a great way to kind of end the Tokyo portion, was... We got to save Tokyo from Godzilla, which we did not save Tokyo. We actually got killed by Godzilla in Tokyo. So, so yeah, I would say that's pretty much it for Tokyo. I know that this went really long. Hong Kong will not be nearly as long because it was smaller, and Shanghai won't be as bad either. But
this was the big one. You guys did a lot in 1 week, huh?
That was we didn't even go over everything else because it's like, you know, I didn't need to go over like wrestling show that we went to or towers that we explored and things like that. But, you know, it is definitely worth it. And, you know, I would say don't do Yokohama Sea Paradise, but everything else, you know, if you are a fan of bizarre stuff to do outside of Disney, you will find it. You know, it's there. And we are already planning on just going back to Tokyo 2 years from now because we loved it so much.
Wow. Well, I have to mention, I think I mentioned this to you in person or when I saw you guys. I'm wondering why a trip to NAR Dreamland, the abandoned Disneyland ripoff park, was not on your agenda.
Okay. I will explain that for you because that, of course, seems like it should be on my agenda, and it is. We stayed directly in Tokyo this time. That is outside of Tokyo.
Oh, okay.
We wanted to, with this time, we stuck primarily in the cities that we were in because we didn't have rental cars. We didn't know how the systems worked and how it would work. Now, next time we go... We're planning on going for 2 weeks to and doing like full on Japan, not just Tokyo, because and what we want to do is 2 days of Halloween, take a break, do more Halloween Disney. So do a day of Disney Sea, do the rest of Japan, the stuff that we want to do. And then by the time we come back, they'll be decorated for Christmas. So we're going to try to hit the very end of October, beginning of November, so we kind of get two different parks at that point. You know, because there it's an 8-day turnaround, so if we did 8 days of other stuff and we came back, we'd be good. So, you know, we didn't get to do like Mount Fuji or the Disneyland knockoff abandoned thing, which I promise you we will do that in 2 years, and that will be, I'm sure, its own show for you.
Oh, wow, yeah. For sure.
But that is on our list, as well as they apparently have a Spanish-themed theme park out in Japan somewhere where there's a ride where you're pretending to be a bull fighting a matador. And it's a roller coaster in the dark with where you're, like, in a bull car and, like, you see, like, a matador appear randomly. You know, like, things like that where it's like, I kind of want to see this. I want to do more than just theme parks, but I kind of have to see that before I die.
Maybe.
I don't know. I like bizarre stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, this is an exciting start to our three-part series here.
Jeez.
Yeah.
You guys did so much stuff. I don't even know how you're alive right now. It's nuts.
the aftershock of coming home, and keep in mind, Florida, Hong Kong and Shanghai was exactly a 12-hour difference. So we got home and went back to work within 36 hours, both of us.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we were in zombie mode.
The shock of that, it took me maybe 10 days to readjust.
And it's also been a rough readjustment, like, because we actually did go to Epcot the other day. And it actually seemed kind of sad compared to what we had seen in Tokyo. Because you got to see people that were very happy to be there, and they were just looking like they just were glad to be there and weren't being financially ripped off and things were changing, as opposed to here it's basically like people save up for a year for a trip to take their family to Disney, and then it's hot and humid and everybody's fighting all the time. We see that all the time. You know, it's like a different attitude.
Yeah, I had mentioned something about that under my trip report from, now I've got being at Disneyland local, about a year of that, and then experiencing that environment, and then going to Walt Disney World, just like everyone just seems so mad.
Well, and if you think about it, it's very expensive to go to Disney World in general, and it feels like there's a lot of price gouging between the hotels and just water and food, and just it feels like it's a shakedown when we go to Disney World.
Yeah, well, you gotta learn how to do it cheap.
And it's also hot and humid, so you're already taking people, like, you know, if you're a California person and you're going into Florida, it's a totally different weather system than what you're used to.
Yeah, that's unpleasant, but, you know.
As for me, it doesn't even faze me because I've lived here my entire life. We go to Disney in the summer, and I'm like, meh, it's hot. That's the sun. It's going to burn us. That's the way it goes.
We're all going to get engulfed by the sun eventually anyway.
Well, that's a good place to end this episode. So.
Yeah. The bright orange sun is going to get us at some point.
Yes. And we'll leave it at
that. Yeah, you know why. You know the joke that I'm making right there.
Yeah, no, I got it.
Coming soon to the Hall of Presidents.
Yeah.
I actually just saw a petition online. Tell Disney to shutter the Hall of Presidents.
That's probably going to get cut out.
I'll leave it all in. I don't
already
care.
And it was posted to me by a Disney World employee.
Well, it's interesting to see how the Hall of Presidents all plays out.
All right.
We'll see. But anyways, let's wrap this up. I mean, it was great to live through you on this, and you make it seem possible for us.
Yeah, you don't have to live through us. You can do it yourself. Instead of going to Florida next time for $400 for a plane ticket, just go to Japan.
Wow. I mean, I will be going back to Florida.
The Disney ticket will be cheaper. The hotel will be cheaper. Well, you're not going to get a rental car. You'll just take the subway.
Yeah, that's nuts. I mean, I don't know if it'll be the next time, but it does seem like a possible trip. And I want to do your whole trip. I want to do all three parks in one swoop.
That's totally doable.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll tune in next time on your adventure when you go to Hong Kong, where it's a little teaser. Hong Kong Disneyland does Halloween probably better than any other Disney park. They actually have haunts based on Disney properties. You're not going to see this in any other park. You guys lived it. I'm really excited to find out where we're going from here.
Oh, it gets weird. Yeah, yeah. We're just peeling the skin off the onion right now.
All right. All righty. Well, thanks for coming on, and you guys will be back on soon.
Okay, thanks for having us.
This episode of Creepy Kingdom is being brought to you by Final Girls. Final Girls celebrates Halloween and horror movies through illustrations, pins, prints, and more, with an emphasis on the women of the genre. It is created by illustrator Amy Connolly from Liverpool, England. Final Girls has an awesome hitchhiking ghost pin set that you just gotta have. Use the coupon code CREEPY to get 10% off of your entire order. just go to wearefinalgirls.com. That's wearefinalgirls.com.